Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you for joining us on this In His Steps journey as we discover the power of passionate prayer, intentional presence, radical generosity, and surrendered service.
This is day 14 of In His Steps, The Legacy Lives On. And we've been looking all week about worship and its importance. And today we're going to specifically look at a sacrifice of praise. A.W. Tozer wrote, "No man gives anything acceptable to God until he has first given himself in love and sacrifice." And Eugene Peterson wrote, "Worship does not satisfy our hunger for God. It whets our appetite." Our text today is Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Wow. And then consider these thoughts. The writer of Hebrews tells us to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. This great scripture tells us that praising God with our lips is only part of worship. Doing good and sharing with others are also sacrifices of praise that please God. We often don't think of sacrifice when we talk about worship. Many people won't sacrifice their day off from work just to worship the Lord. Today, youth sports and hobbies keep many people from worshiping God in a local church on Sunday. They aren't willing to sacrifice temporarily things to worship our eternal God. Some people only worship God when it's easy and where it is comfortable. In the latest survey, 43% of churchgoers say that they miss the church to avoid traveling during rainy weather. It's amazing the excuses people will use to skip corporate worship. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 says, doesn't say that we should sacrifice occasionally to praise God, but continually. Sacrifice should be a regular part of worship. Notice the language that the Apostle Paul used when speaking about worship. Romans 12, 1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Our lives are to be a living sacrifice of worship to God. Let's be honest. It's easier to go to church and worship God with our lips and never praise him with our lives. However, if we love God more than anything else in life, our lives are the first things we should surrender to him. Leon Morris, in the Pillar New Testament Commentary, describes Paul's imaginary in Romans 12, 1 as follows. The appeal is that the readers offer their bodies as sacrifices, a suggestion whose force would be more obvious to Paul's first readers than to most modern students. First century people were familiar with the offering of sacrifices, whereas we are not. They had stood by their altar and watched as an animal was identified as their own, or it was slain in the ritual manner, its blood manipulated, and the whole or part of the victim burned on the altar and ascended in the flames to the deity they worshiped. To suggest that they should be sacrifices was a striking piece of imagery. Now, we ought to offer our bodies as living sacrifice, not a one-time act of worship, but as a reasonable and proper way to daily worship God. The NLT translate the last phrase of verse 1 as, "This is truly the way to worship God." The NIV reads, "This is your true and proper worship. How you and I live our lives is our spiritual worship." Romans 12, 2 connects worship with offering our bodies as living sacrifices. Romans 12, 2, Paul said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, part of the sacrifice of praise involves being continually transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we conform to the ways of the world, we're not worshiping God appropriately. We should want to offer Him everything because of what He's done for us. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That transfer comes with the possibility of and the power of transformation. Warren Wiersbe expounds on Romans 12:2 and connects it back to verse 1 with these words. Paul is contrasting two ways of life, that of the believer who is being transformed by God and that of the believer who is conformed to the world. It is a contrast between metamorphosis and masquerade. The transformer lives by power from within, whereas the conformer lives by pressure from without. The image here is that the priest offering a sacrifice on the altar, the difference, of course, is that you and I are to be the living sacrifices. We're to be like Jesus Christ, who today bears on His body the marks of Calvary. He is a living sacrifice interceding in heaven for us. I can't help but see in this scripture three gifts that God wants me to present to Him so that I may worship Him and experience transforming power: my body, my mind, and my will. Real worship begins when we yield body, mind, and will to the Lord to be used by the Spirit to glorify God as we worship Him. Hey, here's some questions. Help drive this point home about the importance of worship. Number one, in what ways is your worship a sacrifice of praise? Number two, how can you offer your body as a living sacrifice to God? Number three, how is the renewing of your mind an essential part of continual worship? And number four, as we conclude this week on worship, reflect on the following statement by Warren Wiersbe. The goal of worship is Christ-likeness in our character and in our conduct. Let us pray. Oh God, thank You for the focus on worship for these last 7 days and the meaning of worship and how it can be meaningful. And I pray that we truly will make the goal of our worship Christ-likeness in everything that we do, mind, body, and spirit, in our character and our conduct. May worship be real. In Jesus' name, amen.